السلام عليكم and welcome to a new episode. I'm your host Anas Shatara. In this episode, I'm thinking of calling it something funky. I'm going to be calling it a message from the future, and you will get to know why later on. I was just like listening to my episodes in general, and just to know on which point that I should be talking about in order to link them all together. And I believe it doesn't really matter wherever you start listening to the episodes. They are all interlinked in some core basics. So it does not really matter if you go through them in a chronological order. Why do I want to call this episode a message from the future? I have been recently contemplating on everything that's going on in my life, as usual. Trying to build my way in my entrepreneurship path. At the same time, going to my daily job. Why do I want to call it a message from the future? I believe, and this might sound a bit silly, but I believe that a couple of years down the road, I'm going to be referencing to this episode and say that, believe it or not, I laid down the plan and I just simply put it out in the public. And a couple of years later, it was this big dream that was translated to something way bigger. I believe that anything that you would want, as cheesy as it may sound, anything you would want to achieve in your life, you're going to be attracting it. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. So the most recent one, I didn't even tell my brother about this. Two days before, me and my brother met up after work, and we were just simply catching up and chit-chatting, since we're not spending as much time together as before. And we were discussing business and business ideas. One of the things that we were talking about are custom-made shoes, custom-made clothes. This was just one of the topics. And we both have indulged deeply in this conversation, adding whatever sort of knowledge each of us had and what sort of things you would change to the business, or you would offer to the customers, or you would build a business around it. And funny enough, yesterday, so that means literally the next day after, I show up to work. I had an afternoon shift from 2 to 11, and I sign in at 2 o'clock. The first customer I have, we had a conversation. He was traveling to China. I work in the duty-free, by the way, of the airport, Dubai duty-free, just in case you were wondering. So I have the first customer. He's from India. He's traveling to China, and he looks like a very well, like he's doing very well for a businessman from his the brand of his watch and everything. He was a very lovely man. Long story short, we're done with everything, and I told him, by the way, you're traveling to China, and you told me you spent lots of time there. I'm quite curious to ask you, what do you do? And he said, textile business. And I was like, I just giggled. He told me, why? What happened? I told him, literally last night, before going to bed, I was having a conversation with my brother, and we were discussing about starting a business or a new startup or a new idea, or discussing new ideas about clothes and shoes being custom made. And the literal comment we were talking about, we said, you don't really need to travel to China, because we bet $1 billion there's someone in Dubai who has like a very good source of textiles that's being sold in Dubai. And it's not even 12 hours later and I meet you. So I took his business card. As I said, I still did not meet my brother. This conversation did not really exist yet with my brother, which also adds to the topic of the episode of A Message from the Future. Why do I say this incident? If you would look into your life, you would definitely relate to this topic in a way or another. Don't you see that sometimes you would say, oh, I just feel like there's something bad's gonna happen, or I just have a feeling that I'm going to get a fine, or something is gonna go bad in the car. And little do you know, the same night or the next day or whatever, the temperature goes high, or the oil leaks, or the tires need to be changed, or one of the tires pop, or you go over a nail, or whatever like happens in the car. Not to be too superstitious, but I totally believe that our life, as I explained in previous episodes, just simply revolves around energy. Just to go over the point, to recap quickly, we're basically made from two components, the physical aspect or the physiological aspect, the muscles, the blood, the whatever, and the spiritual or the energy level. But I believe they're both are the same thing, simply because when you would dig deeper into what we are made of, so as an example, you would say we are made out of flesh and blood and muscle tissues. If you would zoom in using a microscope, you're going to see that we're made out of cells. And if you would zoom in to the subatomic, you're going to find that the electrons and the neutrons and. So once you keep going to the last thing, you're going to find that we're basically energy waves. And this also supports the theory of that when you meet someone, you get that sometimes you feel comfortable and sometimes you feel that twist in your stomach. This is the best way I can describe it, from your sixth sense. You don't really have an explanation to it. You just say, I just don't feel comfortable for this person, or I don't like them, or I don't like their vibe, I don't like their energy. Same goes with people who you get along with in your personal life. I mean, in business, sometimes you don't really have that luxury of selecting who you deal with, but usually in your personal life. So what I'm trying to say is the whole universe is made out of energy, and basically, you are concentrating your energy into a certain point. And whatever that direction of that point is, you're heading in that way. So many times, I mean, if you look at all the stories, they go like, oh, this kid came from poverty. He had no means and he worked so hard on himself. And then he became the best player in the world. His name is Messi. It's a very beautiful story. I'm the type of people who does not really get impressed by this narration. I am more impressed by telling me details, like telling me, yes, he have been playing in the neighborhoods and he has been trying in teams and he kept on failing. Yet the turning factor was him going through a certain club or going through a certain way of being scouted or getting to know the scout, the people who actually scout, and then introducing himself. Like, there was definitely a turning point in the story. This is what's important to me. Same thing of all the stories of people who were poor and they started a business. I'd be like, I understand. They might be having the biggest chain of grocery on earth, but what was the turning factor? I mean, the grocery business is not really something new, but what was the thing that they have done that changed all of this? Moving on to the next point. I'm not keeping really track of the points, and in this episode I just had a couple of ideas in my head, and literally I woke up 15 minutes ago and I just simply hit record. So I'm just gonna be moving on to the next points. 16th of October 2019 at 7:50 a.m. is the time that I'm recording this episode. The reason why I have time stamped this is, as I said at the beginning of the episode, I'm going to be referring to it in the future. Now the latest project that I'm working on is a mobile application. I have never built a mobile application myself, so I have been doing a tremendous amount of reading and research, watching YouTube clips, reading articles, any sort of information that I can get my hands on. I avoided buying books as a first step because I don't want to segue myself into coding. And let me explain. The example that I'm going to give you is the following. I know, let's assume I want to build a restaurant. I know how the restaurant should be built. As an example, I need a strong base. I need four walls and a roof. I understand the gist of plumbing, piping, the electricity, the wiring, the internet connection, the whatever. And then I understand that how the tables, the gist of it at least, how the tables should be arranged in a way, the airflow of the AC should not be hitting the tables directly. It should be just making the place either warm or cool if needed. How the kitchen should be designed in a way that it will have the shafts taking out the smell and the smoke and whatever out of the not directing to the restaurant, but to the proper way of disposing them. How there should be an access to the kitchen and access to whatever. So I understand all of these things. The big question is, can I do them? Honestly, it's not that difficult. Building a wall, you put one brick over the other. Painting a wall is not difficult. Plumbing is also not difficult. But the big question is, if I'm going to be doing it on my own, it's going to take me a minimum of 6 to 8 years. In this example of the restaurant. Now, if I would hire, and mind you, there will be a learning curve in every single step because I've never done every single step. Like, I understand it, but I've never done it myself. So I've never built a wall, I've never did plumbing, I've never did wiring in that sense. There will be a learning curve in everyone, but it's doable nonetheless. Question is, the idea that I had for this restaurant that I have finished 8 years later, is it still viable? Is it, am I still dealing with the same market data? Is it still going to be useful? So now we come to the point of the application. The first step that my mind have directed me to is I opened YouTube and the first video I said is how to code an iOS app. I understand that iOS and Android, they use different builders. They're basically the same concept, just using different tools. So I started watching like a good couple of hours of videos, and basically it's coding. There's lots of aspects in it. There's design, there's system integration, whatever. But if you want to dumb it down to two aspects, you have design and you have coding. So you design the app, how does it look like, and then you give functions to every single part of it. I mean, it's as straightforward as this. Yet it's not. I mean, in real life, it's a very complicated process, because on the front end, it looks very simple. You might have a couple of buttons, but in the back end, it's a total nightmare. Mind you that I've never coded in my life. Out of all the things that I've done in my life, I've never coded anything. I bought courses for Python. I didn't really commit to it due to my working hours, due to my lifestyle, and it's not the path that I don't want to become a programmer. I wanted to understand programming so that if I will be dealing with somebody who does programming, at least we'll be speaking the same language, I'll be understanding them, etc. So now I have reached the conclusion that, listen, I need to source this out. So in terms of design, I'm not a designer, and it's extremely frustrating when you're trying to do something that you're not good at. They have related this saying to Albert Einstein, which I don't know if he said it or not, but he said, if you spend your life asking a fish to climb a tree, it's not going to happen. So if you're the fish and you're asking yourself to climb the tree, you're pretty dumb for asking the wrong question. You must see what are you good at and you can do it. So this is the same case. Now I need to source out the design. I need to source out coding. I need to source out legalities. And the beauty of this is that the journey, and this moves me to point number three. Always in my life, I wanted things to be ready. So in this, if you would tell me what's your wildest dream, is that I would open my computer and by magic or by AI, I'm going to see, boom, the application is ready. Or I would give it a command like, hey Siri, create an application for me. I hope my phone did not get activated. Okay, Siri, cancel. I really need to, oh my God. Okay, hey Siri, go to sleep. Siri never sleeps. How can I shut her up? I bought an iPhone a couple of days ago and I'm still getting used to this. Back to the main topic, I really need to mind the command that I say. So I would say that command, and by magic, it's going to be creating the application that I want. In reality, if this thing have happened, it would be pretty cool. I'm going to be creating like a million applications every day. But in all seriousness, it's all about the journey of discovery. It's all about the journey of learning something new. Today, I don't have any answer of all the questions that I have. I understand that I need to have a legal reference in terms of having the terms and conditions, having the contracts of the people who I'm going to be working with. On what sort of terms do you work? So as an example, there are a zillion ways of starting a company. You can be the perfect match of what I say. What's the perfect match? Is that you have the nerd, which is the CTO, the person who knows all the tech, all the programming and everything. You have the designer, the person who does all and everything related to design. You have the guy who's a social media whiz. He's 24/7 on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook and knows how to juggle all of these and create a buzz. And you have me, which is the CEO, basically running the whole show, who understands what every person is doing and knows how to collaborate everyone together and be able to build a business. This is the perfect match. Today, it's only me. I need to find every person. that I just spoke about, of course, also with the legal arm. Now, this is one way of making the application. Second way is you would deal with a company and you would just pay them to do it for you. Of course, this is way easier than said than done. It's an extremely hectic process because it's not the same. Like how to say this? It's a tailor-made thing. It's a constantly meeting process where you are always meeting, always up to date with each other. Where did the company reach? What sort of achievements? What sort of milestones they have reached? In the design, in the prototyping, in the programming, in whatever. And even after you launch the program, after they launch the app, you have a contract with them that they're going to maintain it for 6 months or 1 year, things like that. Now, usually, you see how deeper it gets. Usually, those companies, either they get a one-time fee. So they would say, let's say it will cost you $150,000, which would be $75,000 at the beginning and $75,000 upon launching the application successfully, like V1.0, not beta. It's launched, it's on the app store, downloadable, no bugs, no nothing. And then you will get the 6 months or the 1 year maintenance contract, whatever the contract terms are. There will be another way where the company will say, all right, you're gonna pay us $20,000 and we will have revenue shared at 5% or 10% for the next 5 years, or we will own actually 5% in the app. Now, this, depending on the size of the company, this might skyrocket. I mean, imagine if Uber was created by an app company and this app company had the terms of just they own 5% of the company. I mean, this is the unicorn story that will make them for the next 100 years. What I'm trying to say is this episode is not about how to make an application, but I'm just showing you on where do I stand today. And the beauty of this is that in my bank account, I have less than equivalent in US dollars, less than $2 today. No joke. Nothing is hidden in the saving account or whatever. And I'm extremely optimistic about this because I'm debt free. So Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I mean, thank God. I wouldn't have been able to say this anytime before. I don't know why I'm sharing such personal information at this point, but I'm relating it. I'm relating it to the fact that don't let your current circumstances rule you. This moves me to the next point. And I just remembered why I mentioned how much I have in my bank account. I'm gonna explain this with an example that regardless your background, you're going to be relating to it. I love food, just like all other humans on earth, or at least 99% of them. When I am hungry, I wouldn't be in my most pleasant of moods. So when you're hungry, you would say, I swear to God, if I would go to, I don't know, the only thing that's coming to my head is McDonald's. You would say, that's all I'm going to buy. Make Big Mac, I'm going to buy a cheeseburger meal. I'm definitely going for the ice cream after it as a dessert. I'm going to be getting the big fries, blah, blah, blah. And then once you're going to be thinking and getting all of those crazy ideas of like about food, and like your brain is running overdrive, like it's on 150% just thinking about food and how to make yummy food and coming up with new recipes. You might think of a new idea of a restaurant that's on wheels, like on a bike, not even on a car, so they can like swivel around traffic, get to you quickly, cook you a burger by a small oven, I don't know what. Like, you will be having all those amazing crazy ideas. The moment you eat, the moment you finish your burger or your meal and you're full, you will notice that all of those amazing ideas have disappeared. Not because, and I'm not weighing them whether they were relevant or not, but notice because your current physical circumstances have pushed your brain to a point to start thinking of all the solutions possible. I'm not really sure if you can say it's survival instinct, but I would say it's pretty close to it, at least logically when I think about it. Same thing when you're broke. You would be, instead of, again, this is one of the mistakes that I didn't know that they were this fatal. Everyone loves to daydream. Everyone loves to imagine winning the lottery. Everyone wishes to open up their door and find in front of it a huge suitcase filled with money and gold and things. But in reality, if you stop consuming your brain in such silly ideas and direct it in a way of, instead of saying, I wish I win the $1 million lottery, ask yourself the question, what can I do? Put me on the path of making $1 million. Not necessarily make it in 1 year, not necessarily make it in one deal. So if you break it down, you would say, I'm just looking around me. Okay, there is a gaming laptop. So in front of me, there's a gaming laptop. Let's say it costs $1,000. So you would say, if I create this product, which costs $1,000, I just simply need to sell 1,000 pieces. 1,000 pieces will make me $1,000,000. Now, if I would split those 1,000 pieces on 50 weeks, that means I need to sell 200 pieces per week. If I would divide those 200 pieces per week on 5 days, I need to sell 40 laptops per day. Now you have a metric. Now you have a reference point. So you would say, honestly, selling 40 laptops per day might be difficult in a single market like the market I'm living in. Like, as an example, UAE or Dubai, because the demand is not that crazy high to sell 40 gaming laptops, unless there is like some sort of event or a big company that, or a big gaming network that needs to be opened, especially that it's a niche. But you would say, I would find 40 customers for my gaming laptops if I sold globally. So that segues to the next idea of, why don't I make a website and let this website be available in English or as many languages as I can, or the targeted market, as an example, China, Japan, Korea, all of those like very strong companies in the gaming community, and have it ready with very beautiful visuals, try to target ads to those demographics, to blah, blah, blah. Notice how in the last 3 minutes, I just laid down a whole plan of selling gaming laptops, and this only came from the idea of a simple question: how can I get myself to the $1,000,000? So either you sell a $1 pen, a blue pen that costs $1, and you just need 1,000,000 pens. If you're selling gaming laptops that's worth $1,000, you just need to sell 1,000. So the point that I'm trying to say here today is not about how much money do I have in the bank account or what sort of financial status I'm standing on, because this is totally irrelevant. I would say it doesn't really matter. And it has very little difference to my life if I had $1,000,000,000 in the bank or I had 1,000 in the bank, when you truly think about it. And this is the reason why you see people like, let's say, Elon Musk, Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg, all of those icons in the industry who have made it very big. You would notice that, at least on the outside, they're living a pretty normal world. I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to live in one house. You're going to sleep in one room. You're going to drive one car a day. You're going to wear one pair of pants a day. You're going to be wearing one shoes a day. Did I say a pair of pants? Okay. Again, it's 8 a.m. in the morning, so I might do some mistakes. But what I'm trying to say here is that it will have very little impact. Now, that having that much of liquidity or having that much of financial freedom will give you the beautiful path to financing your ideas. So today, one of my challenges, and it's not a joke, I mean, it's not fake, I mean, it's real, the financial part, where making an application will cost money, just like building a restaurant will cost money. Whether you're going to find investors or you're going to invest your own money, or it doesn't matter. You still need the financial part. You need 1,000,000 other things along with it. If you just had money laying on the table, the app will not make itself. So it's kind of a balance between those two things. To end this episode, because I'm looking at the timer, I think my time is up. To wrap up this episode, I am sending this message from the future. Sounds like the Terminator. I'm Sean Connor. Was his name Sean Connor? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, this message is from Anas Shatara, not the Terminator, from the future, that I'm talking to my past self, that this would be super cool playing it to the public while the company just sold for $400 million. I know it's a very small number, but the point of this application, as I said, I'm not trying to become the next Mark Zuckerberg or the next Snapchat or the next Facebook. I am targeting a niche. I have found a new segment that was untapped before. And I was sharing this with my friends, and they asked me a question. They were like, you have just shared the whole idea of the application. Don't you get scared that someone will copy it? I said, well, recently I watched the McDonald's movie on Netflix, and he said something very nice in the movie when the owners, the the real people who started McDonald's sold the company. They told him, they told the guy, I forgot his name. They told the guy who bought it, they told him, why didn't you steal the idea? I mean, we took you to the kitchen, we showed you everything, and why didn't you just run away and steal it? He said, well, definitely you have given this presentation to hundreds of people before me, and it wouldn't have worked with any of them. It should have been you guys. Same thing with Facebook. I mean, Facebook came out when the social network was not really something new. There was already High Five. There was already MySpace. Google was not the first search engine company. There was already Alta Vista, Yahoo, etc. It does not really matter what sort of application you make or at which point of time. But what matters is the person behind it, the person who's running the show, the person who's chasing it. I believe that this company, from the way that I see it, will be the PayPal. Why do I say it's the PayPal? Because when Elon worked with his brother on PayPal, honestly, from day one, he knew that he was going to sell it out. And the whole reason why he wanted to sell it out is that the moment he got the money, boom, he started SpaceX and he started Tesla, which was, until now, and is actually, until this date, one of the craziest, I mean, ideas on Earth. I mean, just a person wanting to start a rocket company. And NASA is already there. And basically, NASA is everything. And wanting to revolute against the industry of the last century of petrol and say, you know what? I want to make a fully electric cars. Electric cars were not new, but they were resisted by this industry. By all means, political power, economical power, investment, keeping researches for later. And once Tesla became successful, by magic, all the other electric cars who have been, I mean, probably the researches have been done since the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and it's been developed and it's being kept in a hidden closet. All of a sudden, the Porsche Taycan is out, the e-tron by Audi, by Mercedes, the new whatever, like all the car companies have introduced their electric cars. Point of this is that his, and he said it many times, many people told him, oh, you're trying to make money. He said, if I want to make money, I'm just going to make another internet company, meaning like a new application, a new website or whatever. But his point was not really the profit. He is trying to change humanity course in a positive direction, in renewable energy, in using electric energy, in using autonomous driving. I mean, it's quite still retarded that I need to get in my car, I need to navigate using my steering wheel and get to work and park. It's quite retarded. And I still put dinosaurs in my fuel tank just to drive my car. Don't get me wrong, I'm a big lover of cars and bikes and I'm a petrol head basically, but I believe that it's doing much higher harm to the planet due to being used on such a large scale. And I know some freaks will jump out and be like, oh, do you know that the electric power is generated by coal or by fuel? I understand, but we all know this fact that there's an abundance of renewable energy not being used, name it from the heat, from the cold, from the ocean waves, from the sun, from the wind, whatever it is. I mean, we are basically not occupying probably 15% of Earth, and there is a huge part of Earth that we still did not use in terms of to harness this renewable energy. And it should be done on a country level, on a geographical level, not only just one city. It should be a collaborative effort. I came to the end of this episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. I'm feeling much more comfortable because for the past week or two, I've been discussing this with my best friend Saif. I was telling him, do you know how to find a solution for when there is something in your head artistically and you can't itch it? He gave me a beautiful answer. He said, create something with no purpose. And I said, what do you mean? He's like, do you know how sometimes you just get some random clips online, probably with random music? You just smash them together and make the most random 15, 20 seconds. I said, yeah. He's like, exactly. Just do something with no purpose. You're not trying to shoot a movie. You're not trying to shoot an ad. You're not trying to deliver an idea. Your idea is just being random. And that will just trigger something in your mind. So the last exercise I've done in my day off last weekend, I went out with my friend at sunrise. Well, I wanted to hit two birds with one stone. I wanted to test out the new iPhone since I invested tremendous amount of money in it. And I wanted to see the limits of the camera or be able to see how to get used back to the iPhone world. I mean, I've been using Android for the past, God knows, like 5 or 6 years. So I want to get used back to the color science, etc. And I ended up doing a mini photo shoot for my friend. The purpose of it was to take pictures of myself and landscape. Unfortunately, the weather was too humid to take landscape. It was not so pleasant, but he ended up getting some really good photos. So I believe that have triggered something. So I thank you again, Saif, for your amazing advice. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. I think my time is up now. And hope to see you soon in the next ones. Peace.